Community members gathered at 3rd Street Park in downtown Bloomington this afternoon. The dozen or so community members were part of a nationwide walkout aimed at supporting women who have survived sexual assault. The walkout in Bloomington was organized by the women's shelter Middleway House. Executive Director Deborah Morrow spoke to the assembled crowd of mostly women clad in black about her own experience of sexual assault and what happened after she reported her own experience years after the assault. Deborah Morrow speaks first, followed by assault survivor Jennifer Bass and another woman who did not want to be named. A warning, some of these stories depict actions of sexual assault. Please listen at your discretion.
I'm frustrated that we have to be here. I'm angry. It's 2018, folks. Survivors of sexual assault should not have to defend their actions. Today we join this national walkout and moment of solidarity with Dr. Ford and Deborah Ramirez, who had the courage to share their experience of sexual assault, only to be blamed, shamed, and doubted. Is it any wonder that about 2 out of every 3 sexual assaults go unreported, according to the National Crime Victimization Survey in 2015? That same survey also shows that when people do report sexual assaults, 28% report that they reported to protect a household member or a survivor from further crimes. The 25% reported their sexual assaults to stop the incident from happening again or from escalating. 21% reported to improve police surveillance, or they believed they had a duty to report. 17% said they reported to catch and prevent an offender from reoffending. What this tells me is that when survivors decide to report at that time or at a later date, their primary reasons relate to the benefit of others. It's not for personal gain. To those who make assumptions that survivors make false accusations, false reporting is extremely rare. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, only between 2 and 10% of sexual assault reports are false. And seeing how survivors are treated when they do report, I understand why no one would make a false report. When we look at why survivors don't report, it's because they fear retaliation. They don't think anyone will help. They believe it's a personal matter. They reported it, just told a friend, and didn't report it to someone who could help. They felt it wasn't important. They didn't want anybody to get in trouble. Survivors of sexual assault choose to not report for very legitimate and personal reasons. On Friday, I went home from work, and I started reading all the hashtags why I didn't report tweets. I even made a Twitter account, as I was so inspired by their courage, well, saddened by their stories. I had a moment of my own bravery, and I did my very first tweet. It said, because I was 9 years old, he was my priest, and I thought I would go to hell. Quickly, I found myself reliving the blame and shame I felt when I reported 28 years after the fact. Within the hour, I ended up hiding my tweet from public view. To this day, I still live with the fear of consequences of disclosure, even though I know it was not my fault. We stand in solidarity with survivors. It's time to say enough is enough. Stop re-victimizing survivors. Sexual assault is about power, and we must stop giving power to sexual abusers. I know we can do better, and by that I don't just mean creating a safe space for survivors of sexual assault to disclose. We must do better at holding those who commit sexual abuse accountable and not allowing excuses for their behaviors. We must take their power to harm others away, and we must empower survivors. Middleway House will continue and will always continue to support and stand beside all survivors, regardless of their personal decisions in reporting. That's the way it should be, and that's what I expect from this community. Thank you. We'll do a moment of silence for survivors, and then at that point, we'll open up the area.
Well, I sort of went through the experiences that I've had all of my life, and I'm 70 years old, and as I told you, it started at 8 years old when my cousin and I were sledding up at the park, and a man said, come and see my puppies. And so, of course, we thought, great, puppies. And we went up to the water tower in the park, and he turned around and he exposed himself. And so I just grabbed my cousin and said, we got to get out of here, and jumped on our sleds and went down the hill. And so that's when it begins.
And it just doesn't stop?
It hasn't. Well, it stops when you get older, I think. Well, not necessarily, no. But, you know, I lived in New York City, and you couldn't walk down the street without a catcall. Two boys attacked me in an elevator. It was very mild. There was a peeping Tom in my window one time. I mean, it's a lifetime of experience, and I know that I got out of it lucky because, as my sister and other friends have experienced it, it was much worse for them.
And why is it important to believe women or to believe survivors?
I think because it permeates our culture. I don't know how else to say it, but women are taken advantage of.
Do you want to share your name?
I don't think I want to do that right now.
Well, I came out today because of the time lapse issue, and the idea that people are not believing women who are coming out 30, 40 years later for things that happened to them, that at the time were just accepted. And I think the beautiful thing about today is that we can talk about these things, and we can come out and we can share them, and the stigma is slowly, being sloughed off, because when we all come together and talk about what's happened to us, that's when we can confront those who have done this and think they can get away with it, and change our culture so that women are believed.
And why is it important to believe women?
Women, why would you not believe someone? That's what's amazing to me. Why would anyone make up this story? This is not something that gives you great power. This is something that you've had to relive, that you are having to bring out to the open, to share in the public, to put your family's life, in disarray, to put your own life in danger, as, some of the people are doing today, some of the women are doing today. Why would you not believe them?
There's a lot of talk, particularly with the Republican senators on the Senate Judiciary Committee, about why would they bring this up 35 years later? This is obviously a political stunt. Undoubtedly you have some feelings about whenever that argument is made, but do you have any thoughts that you care to share about that?
Well, the Supreme Court position is the highest position in the land. It really is. You can't vote them out after 4 years. These are the people who are making decisions about women's lives and women's bodies. And, I don't care if this happened when he was a teenager, if it happened when he was in college. This is part of who this person is. And I think that we have to trust that our justices are serving justice to all people, including, guess what, women, who make up half of our population.
Do you mind if I share your name?
Oh, that's fine. Okay. I wanted to add something, and that is, in my own personal experiences, that I can very clearly recall every single one of them. It's not like it leaves you. Yeah. It's there.
Right.
I mean, I can remember, as I said, from when I was a child.
Yeah. And on that, too, I can totally understand why men who go to a party, or even women who go to a party, you go to lots of parties when you're 18, 17, 16 years old, and you don't remember them all. But if something traumatic happens to you, you remember it. And those are the people we have to believe.
Thank you. Anything else that you'd like to share? Anything else that you want people to know about why you're here, or about today, or about what's going on, Supreme Court confirmation?
My name is Savannah Perlman. I work with Women's March Indiana. I want to say thank you so much for doing this. I've been lucky enough never to have faced sexual assault personally, but I think it's really important that we start believing women when they speak and giving women the benefit of the doubt. And that when women do decide to reveal that they've been sexually assaulted, that we support them and we be there for them and we believe them. And so thank you to Dr. Ford, and thank you to the other women who are coming forward now. And I hope that we see some action on this, because it's unacceptable that any sexual abuser or alleged sexual abuser be on our Supreme Court.
Survivors, because as a survivor myself, I can't imagine anyone going through this process without telling the truth. It's a very painful process to come forward. It's very difficult to be part of the criminal justice system. It's very difficult to do it within a community, and I'm very amazed at anyone who's willing to put themselves out there and really tell their story. And I'm so grateful for the women who are coming forward right now in our country.
My name is Sarah, and I work for Manoli House, but I have spent in my career the better part of the last 5 years believing and supporting and holding the space for survivors. I know there are multiple reasons why people choose not to come forward. Many people have shared with me that when they have gone through the criminal justice process, they found that more painful than the actual experience. I also myself am a survivor, and so I do understand why people don't report. I did not report. I was in my 30s, so I certainly didn't expect to find myself in that position, although it happens to people of every demographic and every background. The first person I told was a friend who said, "Was I sure I understood what I was saying and what really happened?" And that really affirmed to me and informed me how I was going to move forward. I also have to say that I didn't feel the need to go forward. It wasn't going to change what happened, but I certainly support everyone who does. It is terrible to see the way survivors are doubted. They have nothing to gain from doing so and everything to lose, and they command and deserve us to listen and hear them and believe them and support them.
There's no one else. I just want to say thank you to all of you. You show your commitment by being here today and standing out in the rain and believing in survivors, and that is so valuable. People may not know we're here, but we know we're here. And I hope that our message of support reaches them somehow. If you know anybody who needs help with sexual assault, domestic violence, or human trafficking, let them know that Middleway House is there to help. We won't judge, we never judge, and we always believe survivors. Thank you.
And to that, I want to add that our 24/7 help and crisis line is always available to survivors as well as to those who love and support them. That number is 812-336-0846.
And I can't let you go without giving you an assignment. I want you to contact Joe Donnelly and Todd Young and let them know what you expect from them and that you expect them to believe survivors.
You've been listening to the stories of area women speaking out about sexual assault as part of today's National Walkout for Sexual Assault Survivors. You first heard from Middleway House Director Deborah Morrow, followed by Jennifer Bass and another woman who declined to be named, along with Savannah Perlman and Communications Director for Middleway House, Sarah Hunt. Again, if you need help, please reach out to the Middleway House and call their crisis hotline at 812-336-0846. The walkout for sexual assault survivors comes after the Supreme Court, after Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh faces allegations by three different women of sexual assault.